Long story short, my computer's in the shop, so I don't have my usual setup if I sound different. Hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Mark Norman tweets, my friend's in some real hot water because of his jacuzzi business. Mugging for the camera. There's no camera, Johnny Mack. Mark Norman again, I'm glad it's the Delta variant because if it were the Sprint variant, it would be an additional fee for the vaccine. Larry the Cable Guy, random thought, sleeping in a bad bed gives you all the pain and soreness of working out with none of the benefits. Sean Patton says, hey, people of New York City in the East Village, it's called a sidewalk, not a stand there with your thumb up your butt doodling around on your phone because you lack the confidence to find out where to check in for reservations. The Laugh Button wrote about Jackie Mason, who passed away last weekend. Throughout the 50s and 60s, Jackie Mason would make a name for himself due to various TV appearances and club dates throughout the country. On October 18, 1964, Jackie Mason was performing on the Ed Sullivan Show. During his act, Jackie looked off camera where Ed Sullivan was holding up two fingers, allegedly to indicate that Jackie had 2 minutes left due to the show being preempted by an impromptu speech that President Lyndon B. Johnson was about to give. Jackie Mason began playing off that and while riffing, pointed to Sullivan with his thumb and index finger. However, from Sullivan's angle, it appeared that Jackie was flipping him the bird. As you can imagine, especially in those days, Ed Sullivan became incensed. Sullivan banned Mason from the show and terminated his $45,000 contract for six appearances. Think about $45,000 in 1964 money. Following the ban, Jackie found himself in hot water and essentially viewed upon as controversial by other shows, making it hard to get TV gigs. Jackie Mason sued Ed Sullivan for libel, saying he was defamed, and brought it to the New York Supreme Court, where it was dismissed. 2 years after the incident, Jackie Mason was invited back on the Ed Sullivan Show to perform. Sullivan even wound up issuing a public apology, and Mason made five more appearances throughout the 60s. But as for his TV career, the apology and subsequent appearances did little to help. He was blackballed from the industry, leaving him primarily to work in clubs and doing bit parts in movies like The Jerk and The History of the World Part 1. By the mid-80s, there was a Jackie Mason resurgence due to a hit Broadway one-man show, and eventually he did get to do more work on TV, most memorably as Krusty the Clown's dad on The Simpsons. Also from the Laugh Button, Comedy Central has announced the tapings for three new half hours. Today, Ian Lara, Rhea Butcher, and Yodoye Travis will be taping their specials at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. Plus, the network will soon be shooting shorter sets from comics such as Amina Amani, Andrew Orofo, Ashton Womack, Chanel Ali, Dan Perlman, Emma Willman, Gianmarco Sorse, Irene Tu, Jared Goldstein, Kate Willett, Lucas O'Neill, Matthew Broussard, Reggie Conquest, and Sam Talent. I'm surprised seeing Matthew Broussard in the second half there. I feel like his career is a little further along. He was one of Montreal's new faces, so I want to say it's been a while. 5, 6, 7 years ago? I was there. I saw him. He was great. It's been a while. Also from the Laugh Button, next April marks the 50th anniversary of what is arguably one of the most well-known comedy clubs in the world, the Comedy Store. They've announced plans to create the Comedy Store Records label. It's being described as the new home for the best of the past, present, and future of comedy albums. Whether or not that means they'll be going into their archives to release some previously unreleased materials remains to be seen. From Fox News, your home for comedy, today's Ted Lasso Day. You might call it Friday, but it's Ted Lasso Day. Diane Sawyer, oh wait, spoilers for episode one, not a big deal, spoilers. What are the spoilers about Diane Sawyer? I just ruined the episode. No, I didn't. Here we go. Diane Sawyer says she's in to date Ted Lasso following a joke in the Apple TV Plus comedy. In episode one, Ted Lasso was asked, would he like a cocktail? And he responds with, oh, the same thing I'd say to Diane Sawyer if she ever asked me out on a date. Yes, please. Diane Sawyer tweeted, dear Ted Lasso, I'm in. Your move. The Twitter account for the show, which tweets from the perspective of Ted Lasso, wrote back, oh my, you've got me on my heels more than Lady Gaga at the Met Gala. Any chance you like biscuits? Biscuits are a running joke in Ted Lasso, as the newbie soccer coach routinely brings such snacks to his boss, the UK soccer team owner, Rebecca Welton. Ted Lasso, Apple TV Plus, you should do it. The New York Times also wrote about Ted Lasso, sort of. A big editorial called How TV Went from David Brent to Ted Lasso. Two decades ago, TV's most distinctive stories were defined by a tone of ironic detachment. Today, they're more often sincere and direct. How did we get here? That got into the recent comments by Ricky Gervais, who said The Office would be canceled if it came out now. The Times adds, but the reasons go beyond cancellations to changes in TV's narrative style, which have happened at least in part because The Office and shows like it existed in the first place. Earlier in the summer, the Times critics put together a list of the 21 best American comedies of the past 21 years. It runs chronologically, which has the side benefit of showing you TV history in time-lapse form. It kicks off with the likes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Arrested Development, and The American Office. All have comically obnoxious or oblivious protagonists. It ends with the warm dramedy Better Things and the coming-of-age buddy comedy Pin 15, which are big-hearted shows whose main characters may be imperfect or awkward, but whom you are meant to identify with. They asked what was going on at the turn of the millennium. The Office and Company followed on the Seinfeld and David Letterman era of high irony, a time when a literary device was enough of a cultural concern to inspire magazine covers, books, and premature obituaries. Cringe comedy asked you to accept dissonance within the story and within yourself. You could see Larry David as a jackass while recognizing that you found it thrilling, or consider Stephen Colbert, who spent a decade on The Colbert Report, playing himself as a blowhard conservative commentator, a deep cover ironic immersion assignment that required narrative detaching, not just from his show, but in a way from himself. By the Trump era, Colbert was the host of The Late Show, still funny, still cutting, but delivering jokes from his authentic persona, becoming a resistance viewer favorite by spoofing the president directly rather than killing him with fake kindness. All week I've been telling you about Just for Laughs New Faces. This is our final group. It is the New Faces Canada group. These are Canadians. And let's see if Canadians are like the Americans, who nobody can just be a comedian. They have to be an actor, producer, whatever, podcaster, comedian. Let's see if everybody's a hyphenate. First up, Aaron Reed is an award-winning stand-up comic, improviser, actor, and visual artist. He's from Vancouver. His comedy fluctuates somewhere between silliness and sad psychedelia, and has garnered him numerous awards, including Just for Laugh Northwest's Breakout Artist of the Year and Toughest Act to Follow. He does a weekly 200-seat sold-out comedy show called The Sunday Service, and he has performed unconventional solo sketch and stand-up comedy for 10 years. Sounds like a lot of fun. Al Val has enjoyed a meteoric rise in the Canadian comedy scene. In 3 short years since Al came out as trans, she has made appearances at Just for Laughs, Just for Laughs Northwest, a bunch of other places, voted by her peers as 2020's Breakout Comic of the Year. Next up, Andrea Jin, stand-up comedian and screenwriter. Based in Vancouver, born in Shanghai, she taught herself English through watching sitcoms and stand-up on TV. That is amazing. Her debut comedy album is called Grandma's Girl. Next up, Drew Baim is a high-energy comedian from Edmonton. Living in Toronto, Baim is a stand-up comedian who's appeared at the Halifax Comedy Festival, JFL Toronto, the Hubcap Comedy Festival, and a bunch of other things. Drew's debut comedy album, Gnarly, was released in 2018. Harrison Weinreb is a young stand-up comic from Montreal. His unique style blends absurd one-liners with unconventional observational humor and has allowed him to open for some of Canada's greatest comedians. Juliana Rodriguez, stand-up from Toronto. In 2016, she participated in the Cleveland Comedy Festival, where she was named as a finalist at Best of Fest. Her podcast, All Good Podcast, made the top 10 comedy podcast list as part of TRNTO in 2020, and she did her first taping for Just for Laughs as part of the stand-up show with John Doerr in late 2020. Meg McKay, comedian and writer. The Canadians have dialed it down. They're two things. They're not just comedians. They're comedians and something, but they're not like 17 things like the Americans are. Meg McKay is a TV writer. She's written for CBC's The Baroness Von Sketch Show. I love that name so much. And This Hour Has 22 Minutes, which is a great TV joke. Her stand-up album, Probably a Witch, came out in May of 2020. Nitish Saghuja is a Toronto-based second-generation Indian-Canadian comedian. He's a crowd favorite at Kenny Robinson's Nubian Show, as well as NXNE, the Okanagan Comedy Festival, the Border City Comedy Festival, and several others. We are deep into comedy festivals. I have not heard of those. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying I haven't heard of those. And even if I suck, for the last 2 years and a week, I have Googled the word comedy every day. The Okanagan Comedy Festival and the Border City Comedy Festival. Pretty deep. Salma Hindi is a first-generation Egyptian-Canadian comedian featured on the CBC. She recently gave a TED Talk about her emotional journey in comedy titled Why People-Pleasing is Hurting You. And finally, Travis Lindsay is the most prolific writer in East Coast comedy. Really? Humble brag. His great mix of jokes and storytelling has been captivating audiences since the age of 16. Travis has been named Best Nova Scotia Comedian. There you go. Come back a year from now if you want to hear me read names for a week and knock out the commercial. But you know what I'm going to talk about on the other side of the commercial. You've been paying attention all week. You know what's coming, right? I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Zaco. Let me plug my travel podcast. So I do this casual travel podcast. It's about places I've been and what I like to do there. This week, a place that I've been, Philadelphia. I know, 90 miles from where I was born. How did I ever go to Philadelphia? Can you imagine? Anyway, Philadelphia is pretty cool. Cheesesteaks, Liberty Bell, etc. Travel is back wherever you get your podcast. Mashed spoke to George Lopez about tacos. Today, I'll keep it short. Today, we're just doing the tragic origin of George Lopez tacos. Left by his parents at a young age, in infancy by his father, and at 10 by his mother, George Lopez was raised by his maternal grandmother and step-grandfather in the San Fernando Valley. Growing up, money was tight, so when his grandmother made tacos, she made them one at a time and with only one tortilla. George said, "I like the double tortilla, but when you grow up poor, you don't have the option." Authentic tacos usually have two corn tortillas. You guys know the recipe. First, the tortillas have to be warm, not hot. Warm, not hot. Warm. Just warm when you're holding them in your hand. Not only is a fresh, warm, not hot, a fresh, warm tortilla delicious, but for George Lopez, its aroma is beautiful as well. And George says, and when you taste it, it's all connected to the heart. And finally, I'm going to have my buddy Glenn over for a game of Monopoly Sopranos Edition. Apparently, there are a bunch of variations on Monopoly, including Breaking Bad Monopoly, Monopoly for Millennials, where I guess everyone wins. Yes, Gen Xer just zinged you, Millennials. Take it. Monopoly for Queen fans. That's fun. Ms. Monopoly. And Monopoly Socialism, where I don't think Monopoly understands socialism. Sopranos Monopoly promises that players of the game will have the ability to buy, sell, and trade popular locations like Tony Soprano's house and Satriali's pork store before wheeling and dealing at the bada bing. The chance cards have been renamed to say, "Hey," and the community chess cards now say, "Oh." I'm very curious about some of the properties, so I'm clicking on the website here to see if I can zoom in and read a couple more. I see the equivalent of Baltic Place would be the cemetery. $60 gets you that. Tony Soprano's house is the boardwalk of the game. That will cost you $400. I see golf course, the mall, the falls. Free parking is still free parking. The tax rectangle is labeled the boss's cut. We also see Averna Social Club, Uncle Pat's farm, loan sharking. That's like a railroad. Dr. Melfi's office, White Car's shore house, protection, Satriali's pork store, and others. Instead of the car and the iron and all that, we have a baby duck, the Stugats, Bobby Bacala's toy train, Dr. Melfi's chair, Satriali's pig, I would be that, Barone sanitation truck. I'm watching a video, that's why I'm all over the place. Auto body shop is a yellow. Vesuvio Ristorante is a green. The funeral home is a brown. Livia Soprano's house is a light blue for $100. The funeral home for $60. Here's one of the chance cards, which now A, which says, "You're invited to Sunday dinner. Better not be late. Advance to Tony Soprano's house." That's fun. That's a good time. Let's just get out on a high. There's more to this video, but that's good, right? That's your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Back all weekend on the backup computer. So if I sound a little fuzzy, that's why.